So recently, John chatted with him about this book called The Witch's Tale.
It is called The Witch's Tale, and it is based on, actually not based on, but it actually is an anthology of 13 original vintage radio scripts that were done between the year 1931 and 1938 by the great-granddaddy of modern radio media horror, Alonzo Dean Cole, a man who I think has too long been unrecognized. We have the 13 radio scripts. We have kind of a biography of Alonzo Dean Cole, a history of the program, a log with the title of each of the programs that Cole wrote. He wrote the entire series, and that log includes some 332 programs, plus cast photos. If you think I'm proud of the book, yes, I am.
Now, how did you get a hold of all this narration?
Well, The Witch's Tale is a program that I fell in love with the first time I heard it. I've listened to several programs in that series. I'm lucky enough to have about 30 of them in my collection. And I've always thought that it was far superior to programs that most collectors are familiar with, like Suspense and Lights Out, all of which came years after The Witch's Tale. Several years ago, I learned that the widow of Alonzo Dean Cole was very much with us, and that she had all of the scripts that her husband had written. I was able to contact her through her agent. For a couple of years, we talked about the possibility of putting an anthology together, and the scripts were, as they were described to me, were rather old, were rather brittle. Can imagine something written in 1931, 32, how long it would last here in 1998. And therefore, the people who had the scripts were kind of reluctant to part with them. But after a lot of begging and pleading and letter writing and cajoling and an offer, of course, for royalties, I was finally able to get all of the scripts so that I could read them all. Originally, they had offered to send me a dozen or so, but my concern was that I didn't want to just publish any scripts that Cole wrote. I wanted to publish a cross-section of them so that they would be able to reflect his entire career. I had the pleasure of reading all of these scripts, over 300 of them. Many of them, some of them are repeats, so I did not have to read the second or third version of the same program. But having read them all, I was finally able to break down the scripts into a number of categories so that, again, we didn't repeat. There were some vampire stories, some werewolf stories, some stories dealing with the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror, stories dealing with reincarnation, with transmutation, with hauntings. And we tried to select 13 different scripts, each of which that would cover a different subject, so there was no repetition, and also not programs that are currently in circulation that collectors might have in their own collection.
So this took about a period of 2 or 3 years to do once you got the scripts.
Well, once I got the scripts, it took me 2 or 3 years to finally get the scripts to negotiate for the scripts. But once I got them, the reading of the scripts, the selection of them, I would say close to a year.
Now, just for historical purposes, where did the scripts go once you finished with them?
Back to its original owner, which is Mrs. Cole, Dorothea Cole.
And how does she feel about the book?
Well, I spoke to her a week or so ago. She was very pleased with the book. As a matter of fact, I got a very interesting letter from her. Even after we spoke on the telephone, and one of her comments was that she remembers after reading the book and reading about the fact that my wife had actually retyped the scripts. The original scripts, of course, had so many corrections in them, as I think you're familiar with the process of radio script writing. The author does an original script, and he times it, and he edits it, crosses things out, changes things to either lengthen or shorten the total script. So each of the scripts had to be retyped, and we mentioned that in our dedication page and our acknowledgement page. And Mrs. Cole commented on the fact that when she read the fact that my wife had retyped all of the scripts, it reminded her of late one evening, when she heard her husband typing a script for a radio program, and all of a sudden he stopped. And he came into her bedroom, and she asked him why he stopped, and he said, you know, I was so involved in that script, I frightened myself, and I decided not to continue. Which we thought was a darling little remembrance. She's very, very pleased, and we're happy that she is.
Now let's take a look at the chronology of the show. It began, you said, in 1931. Was this at the network from the very beginnings, or just on the East Coast initially?
Well, it was picked up by WOR, which at that time I don't know if it still is, but at that time it was owned by the Bamberger Company. Louis Bamberger is the owner, or was the owner, of a large department store in New Jersey, in Newark, New Jersey, and he also owned the radio station. Now, WOR is the major New York outlet, was and still is, as far as I know, the major New York outlet for the Mutual. And all of the programs that were broadcast on WOR were sent out to other Mutual stations that that would accept the that kind of feed. As I'm sure you know, in Detroit you had the program that created the Lone Ranger, also on a Mutual network. And originally that was probably done just in Detroit and then went over the network. So my suspicion is that the same thing happened with the Witch's Tale.
So it continued on the network for 7 years?
It started on the first broadcast was May 28th, 1931. The title of that program is The Queer House, and it's a haunted, obviously a haunted house program.
Mm-hmm.
The last program that went out on the network was broadcast on WOR and also out on the network was the 332nd broadcast, and that was called, actually that was part two. It was a two-parter the week before and that week, The House of the Gargoyles. How's that for a title?
Huh.
June 13, 1938. After 1938, after June of 38, Alonzo Dean Cole, I think in his last year or two, had the programs transcribed, put on electrical transcriptions. And from 1938 to 1945, I believe it was, he syndicated the shows. He also sold the scripts, or sold the rights to the scripts, to some agents in Australia, New Zealand, and South America. And in those parts of the world, the programs were done with local casts and also transcribed. So some collectors have copies of the programs that were done actually during the last season, the 37-38 season, would have been most of the programs that collectors have. Because I don't think he started to make his transcriptions before then. And those are the programs that were broadcast in various regions of the country on the transcriptions. But, of course, a couple of programs are available from Australia. I'm sure you have a few of those in your collection. The Haunted Crossroads, I think, and Tourists Accommodated
mm-hmm.
are a couple that came from Australia. They were done from the original Cole scripts, but with an Australian cast.
How about some of the actors who appeared on the show that we might remember?
Well, chances are we wouldn't remember too many of the actors because Cole used the same two people in all of his programs. He used his wife, who was, as you may know, a lady named Marie O'Flynn. Now, that's not the widow of Alonzo Dean Cole. That was Cole's first wife. She always played opposite him. The original Nancy was a lady named Adelaide Fitzallen, and she played Nancy from 1931 to 1935. She was an older woman. As a matter of fact, I think she was 75 years of age. I shouldn't say older. The older I get, the younger that seems. And in 1935, without ever missing a single performance, she passed away. Cole was stuck for a Nancy. For two or three broadcasts, he had various people coming in playing Nancy. He finally, I think after the fourth or fifth audition, was introduced to Miriam Wolfe. The person who introduced Alonzo Dean Cole to Miriam Wolfe was the lady who was associated with Let's Pretend, Nyla Mack. Nyla Mack apparently worked with Dean Cole in vaudeville years earlier, and so the two of them knew one another. And Miriam Wolfe, as you may know, used to play the witch on all of the Let's Pretend programs. Anytime there was a role for a witch, little 13-year-old, or earlier than that, 12 and 11-year-old, Miriam Wolfe played the witch. In 1935, 13-year-old Miriam Wolfe played the witch for the very first time on The Witch's Tale, and Alonzo Dean Cole said, "I've got my new Nancy." The other two people who played on a regular basis in the program every week without failure were an actor named Alan Devitt and another actor named Mark Smith. We have photos of the two actors in the book. They were graciously provided to us by Miriam Wolfe, who is still very much with us, and who was extremely helpful in getting me information about Cole and about the broadcast. As a matter of fact, Miriam Wolfe, the Nancy from 35 to 38, was kind enough to write a prologue and an epilogue to our book.
Oh, great. Great.
Have I told you about the book itself and how one of your or any of your listeners might possibly purchase a copy?
Well, to coin a phrase from Ripley, believe it or not, that was going to be my next question.
Believe it or not, I think I have an answer for you.
I'm so glad.
Anybody who is interested in purchasing a copy of The Witch's Tale can do so by contacting Dunwich Press, D-U-N-W-I-C-H. People who are familiar with H.P. Lovecraft will know what Dunwich Press means. The address of Dunwich Press is P.O. Box 193. It's located in Yorktown Heights, New York. The zip code is 10598. The phone number, if anyone is interested in calling, is 914-245-6608. There is a fax number, 914-245-2630. And if anybody would like to see anyone who has the access to email or the internet, we're located on HTTPL, whatever that code is, www.otrsite.com/witchestale. No apostrophe, witchestale. The book sells very, very inexpensively.
We can't mention the price, but it's not an expensive book at all.
It sells for less than $20. Postage is very inexpensive. And if you are a fan of radio mystery, of radio horror, of the supernatural, of vintage material, and you'd like to read 13 scripts that are not available anywhere else, and you'd like to learn more about Alonzo Dean Cole, it is the only source for material of this nature concerning The Witch's Tale.
Do you expect that you might do part two in the event that this is a popular read?
Nothing would give me greater pleasure, but of course it would be nice to know that the first book is successful.
Yeah,
just been out for a couple of weeks, and we've been pleased with its initial acceptance. But clearly, if this book is successful, and with 332 scripts available, part two is certainly a possibility.
Have you been able to track down any of the other recordings?
As of this moment, I have about 30 recordings in my collection. We've spoken to the person who was the man probably closest to Dean Cole. By the way, people, every time I refer to him as Alonzo Dean Cole, the people who knew him really say, no, he loved to be called Dean.
Hmm.
So only refer to him as Dean. But he only has one recording. It's one that's already in circulation. And unfortunately, it's not in the best sound. It's interesting, as I know you're a great fan of radio, OTR. So many of the programs, once if you can get a copy of the original disc, and you have the facilities, you can clean it up and make a nice copy. For some reason, whether it had to do with the material that the disc was made from, there are very few copies of The Witch's Tale that really can be said to be very clear. Most of them have a little crackling sound. You can always pick up the plot, but it doesn't come across as what you might call high fidelity.
That's just one of those shows that has to have that particular problem, and because most of the stuff out there today is pretty good sound, and some of these are, too. It just depends on how it was recorded initially.
Well, I hope that you're able to play a segment of the show to your listeners.
Yeah, we will.
And that they can enjoy it and hear Nancy cackling. Nancy's a funny character, actually. She is. You would think she was supposed to be frightening because she begins each program by talking about how old she is. You know, 111 year old I be today.
And it changed so much.
It always changed. And I think that was a bit of it was more humor than serious, because she could be 120 one week and 109 the following week. In the very, very early scripts, most of which, of course, are not available on recording, in the very early scripts, there's more conversation between Nancy and her guests, and you begin to get a sense of how Cole began these shows, how he wrote these shows, and what his motivation was. Initially, two or three people would actually come and visit Nancy, and that would be part of the program. And the reason she had a birthday every week is because she was a sucker for candy. People would bring her candy, and she would tell them that this was her birthday, and that's why she would get the candy. In the initial shows, Nancy actually had a last name. Her name was Holcomb. And Miriam Wolf commented on the fact that that was also an inside joke on the part of Cole, because, of course, Holcomb was another word for hokum, which is, you know, kind of fooling people.
Mm-hmm.
My own sense is that some of the people who followed in radio history are really all patterned on Nancy, because if you consider the fact that Nancy was written, became the hostess of The Witch's Tale in 1931, think of the programs that follow in terms of that type of series. You had Raymond introducing people on Inner Sanctum. You have the Man in Black on Suspense. You have the Mysterious Traveler, all of whom I think are almost a takeoff on the Nancy character, who's introducing you to the stories. And I'm sure the authors of those series probably would have been able to create their introducing personalities without Cole, but to my sense, Cole is really the first person that created that kind of mode on a regular basis. I also think of Cole as an early Orson Welles, because Cole in effect created the programs, he directed the programs, he wrote the programs, and he starred in the programs. When you hear the cat on The Witch's Tale, the actor who makes the sound is not the sound person, it's Alonzo Dean Cole.
Hmm. And of course, people will also remember him for many years of writing Casey Crown Photographer, which was another very popular show.
He did the entire series from 1943 to 1950s, I think.
Yeah, it came back in 1954 for an audition, but I don't know if that ever made it.
384 scripts for Casey Crime.
Oh, really? Mm.
He also wrote several shadow programs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the scariest shadow programs that I'm aware of is a program called The Gibbering Things. If you know that one, that was written by Alonzo Dean Cole.
Oh, okay.
In 1943.
Hmm.
Death at the Graveyard by Alonzo Dean Cole. These are all shadow programs. The Weird Sisters, The Black Serpent, all written by Alonzo Dean Cole.
We should do an Alonzo Dean Cole night.
We should, where you play some of the gangbusters. He was a script editor for Gangbusters.
Oh, that's right.
At one time.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote for Seth Parker. He did some programs for The Hour of Charm. He wrote specials for Kate Smith, you know, the 15-minute little dramas that were that appeared on Kate Smith. I don't know that he wrote them all, but he wrote several of them. Very talented person, and I think somebody who's been neglected too long. What we hope to do is just as people in the world of pulps remember H.P. Lovecraft and know that August Derleth resurrected Lovecraft, we'd like to resurrect Alonzo Dean Cole as a great writer.
Well, I think you've done a great job of starting it along the way, and let's hope that people go out and to buy the book and experience.
If your local book dealer doesn't have it, the Witch's Tale, published by Dunwich Press, they can order it from Ingram, or they can order it directly from Dunwich Press.
Good. Well, I thank you for spending some time with us, and good luck on the book.
Thank you very much. A pleasure speaking to you, John.
Examine briefly The Witch's Tale here on Same Time, Same Station.